Cody, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
The Cincinnati Museum Center will open what surely will be a fascinating exhibition next Wednesday. The title itself is a surprise, Mummies of the World. I thought mummies all came from Egypt.
That's the common conception, is that mummies are all from Egypt, all tucked away in pyramids, wrapped in linen, but that's not necessarily the case. Now, there certainly are several mummies from Egypt because in their culture, intentional mummification was a ritual and a ceremonial practice that they did there. But there's mummies from all over the world. There are other cultures that intentionally mummified remains after people had passed, but there's several forms of natural mummification that we'll learn about and that we'll see in this exhibit as well. For example, we have a family of mummies from Hungary. They were buried in coffins in a crypt of a church. They were then found in the early 90s, perfectly mummified. Their clothes were well intact. You could see their fingernails, the skin on them, their teeth, their tongues, everything. So well intact and mummified due to the humidity and the temperature and the pine tar from the coffins themselves. So it's very fascinating where these mummies come from and the processes that have led to the mummification that we'll see here.
The family from Hungary, that was not an intentional mummification?
No, it was a happy accident based on the environmental conditions, the temperature of where they were interred. And because of that, we can learn so much about them as the cause of death, how old they were when they died, things like that, that you can't get from bodies that have not mummified.
Have other cultures, aside from Egypt, done much mummification?
You'll learn about the Jivaro culture in this exhibit. Now, they were a tribe in Ecuador that traditionally mummified human heads to create shrunken heads. So you'll see some of these shrunken heads in the exhibit. Yeah, it's very interesting is one way to describe it. But it's incredibly fascinating, and there are reasons why they do these things, and you learn about that in the exhibit. So mummies are a fantastic way to learn about the culture of different regions, different peoples over time.
You also have things from the Burns Museum Collection in Baltimore that are examples of scientific applications and so forth. Tell us about that.
So the Burns Collection originated in Scotland in the late 1700s. What they did is they intentionally mummified remains so that you could see the muscles, the veins, the arteries, the organs and tissues on these bodies. And that was the way they could study human anatomy. And so it was instrumental in medical research. That collection has since been wrapped up into the University of Maryland and is now part of the collection. So it's really fascinating. It's really interesting to see people, how they studied anatomy. Today we think cadavers, there's things like that, and that's how they autopsy them and study those. But that was not an accepted practice at that time. And so by mummifying these, you could look at those, you could see the veins, you could better understand the human body, which led to advancements in medical procedures.
Well, certainly youngsters will be drawn to this show. Do you expect it to have a high appeal to adults as well?
As you said, youngsters are going to find this appealing. I know when I was a kid, when I was younger, I wanted to be an archaeologist. I wanted to explore pyramids, look for mummies. I wanted to find King Tut. And I think that stays with you when you grow up as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of adults who are going to be nostalgic about the days when they wanted to be an archaeologist, when they wanted to look for mummies. But it's just got this amazing curiosity factor to this exhibit that people need to get in there. They want to see what this is all about. They hear mummies and they think Egypt, and we say, well, it's not just Egypt. So it lights a fire in their mind as they imagine all these places that mummies could have come from and what they can learn about those cultures and what those mummies are actually going to look like.
How long will Mummies of the World be on view?
It'll be at Cincinnati Museum Center through April 26th.
Mummies aren't the only thing happening at the Museum Center. You've recently had a new addition to the permanent collection, a preserved rhinoceros that in life was a resident of the Cincinnati Zoo. So tell us about him.
His name is Ipu. He's a Sumatran rhinoceros, of which there are only about 100 living in the wild today. So they're critically endangered in Ipu was an ambassador for his species. He lived here at the Cincinnati Zoo from 1991 till February of 2013 when he passed away. At that point, Cincinnati Zoo officials wanted to find a way to keep him in Cincinnati, so they approached the museum center to see if we would be interested in making him part of our zoology collections. And it was not just about preserving him and keeping him around, keeping him in Cincinnati, but about further study. So we have a taxidermied mount that is on display now. We also have preserved his skeleton. We've taken tissue samples as well, and we're in the process of working with Marshall University, the Cincinnati Zoo, and some folks from the Cincinnati Children's Hospital and sequencing that DNA, which can give us a wealth of information about the biology of the Sumatran rhinoceros and what it can tell us about their species and if we can prevent their decline, if we can help the species rebound. So that'll be a tremendous effort by those organizations and tremendous steps in helping to bring back the Sumatran rhinoceros species if possible.
Can they live somewhere else besides the island that they're on?
That's how Ipu came to Cincinnati. Ipu came to the United States as part of a captive breeding program between Indonesia and the United States, and the Carl H. Leonard Jr. Family Center for Conservation and Research of Endangered Wildlife brought Ipu here to Cincinnati Zoo as part of this captive breeding program. And he was the most successful Sumatran rhinoceros in history in captive breeding. He sired 3 calves. The fact that he is the most successful and he only had 3 calves tells you something about the difficulties of captive breeding for Sumatran rhinos. One of those calves was then sent back to Indonesia to continue breeding there. The other one has passed away a few years ago. The third is still at the Cincinnati Zoo. So there are tremendous difficulties in captive breeding and in moving the Sumatran rhinoceros species and trying to jumpstart the population in another area just because of how fragile the ecosystem is and the difficulties that we've already encountered in this captive breeding program.
Well, I'm really interested in the collaboration between the zoo and the museum center on that project. It just seems to me so affirming when two establishments can work together to expand the public knowledge on something. Would you agree to that?
I would agree with that. And I think that both organizations, both institutions have tremendous strengths. And there are also areas that we just don't have the resources or the expertise to work in. And so in collaborating, the Cincinnati Zoo and the Cincinnati Museum Center have this opportunity to put their strengths together to cover up any of those areas of weakness or those areas where we lack expertise. And so in working with the scientists and the veterinarians at the Cincinnati Zoo, they can work with researchers at the Museum Center to continue the study and also work with the exhibits team at Cincinnati Museum Center to continue Ipu's legacy, to keep him on display so that his story can continue to be told, so that the next generation can learn about the Sumatran rhinoceros and maybe try and find ways to save the species and work to conserve that.
You have another exhibition coming up that also deals with extinction. It's called Martha, the Story of Extinction.
This is the 100th anniversary of the death of Martha, the last passenger pigeon. This is an extinction story that is very real, that despite efforts of conservation, they're no longer around. Cincinnati does have the misfortune that the last passenger pigeon died here, but that also means that we have an opportunity to do further research on the species and to figure out exactly why. We know habitat destruction, we know overhunting led to the demise of the species, but in studying the DNA of the passenger pigeon, we have found out that their population was in decline well before humans really have the impact on the species. So we're hoping that with the story of Martha, with the legacy that she has left behind, we can compare that with Ipu and the Sumatran rhinoceros to make sure that the Sumatran rhinoceros does not suffer the same fate as the passenger pigeon. And so, again, we have the Cincinnati Zoo and Cincinnati Museum Center that are tied and linked together. Obviously, Cincinnati Zoo was Martha's home when she passed away, and now we have this exhibit at Cincinnati Museum Center. So we are continuing that link there and hoping that this increased knowledge, awareness, and research can make sure that other species don't suffer the same fate as Martha.
Well, and at this time of year, we have to mention that you have the Duke Energy Show of Model Trains.
Cincinnati Museum Center, we have a legacy of preserving traditions, and the Duke Energy Holiday Trains are certainly a Cincinnati tradition this time of year. They are in their 69th year and their 4th year at Cincinnati Museum Center, and They're fantastic. The team does such a great job of maintaining that display, of working on the upkeep to make sure that those are going to be around for years and years to come and for generations to continue to enjoy. We've also added some things to the Holiday Junction layout. Santa himself has built this 9/10 scale locomotive engine. If I try to describe it, it wouldn't do it justice. So you have to come out and see it, but you can't miss it right when you walk in. It'll greet you first thing. So you're going to want to get your kids there, get their picture taken in front of that. We've added more trains in the Duke space so that they have some friends there, and it's just much more of a spectacular entrance to the exhibit. We've added more lights to the Duke Energy Holiday Train display so that you can see more of the details and the fine aspects that the team has been working on over these 69 years to make this such a fantastic layout.
Thanks so much, Cody, for coming in to talk with us about all these things going on at Cincinnati Museum Center.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And no conversation about mummies would be complete without a mummy pretzel for you, Jane. So I wanted to bring that for you, a little treat.
Thank you so much. I had not expected that. We've been talking with Cody Hefner, Media Relations Manager at Cincinnati Museum Center. For more information, see WVXU.org. For Round Cincinnati, I'm Jane Durrell.